The Point Radio.
Hey, it's Mike Robb. Well, the wait for Outlander fans is almost over as the series is set to premiere on the Starz Network in just a couple of weeks. And nobody's more excited than producer Ron Moore and author Diana Gabaldon. And they both share the excitement with us coming up. In the meantime, we also look at the series gang-related and talk to series star Jay Hernandez. And get set, here comes Iron Man's ego again. Let's get to The Point.
This is The Point, The Point Radio, get The Point Radio.
The wait is almost over for the legions of Outlander fans waiting to see their favorite book series finally translated to television. It's been a long process, especially in the casting that began with actor Sam Heughan chosen as lead character Jamie. And I talked about that process with Outlander creator Diana Gabaldon.
I didn't actually choose Sam Heughan, by the way. The casting is all actually done by the people who know how. But they did call me and tell me they thought, we're so excited we found Jamie. And I said, well, that's great. You know, who is he? And they told me the name, and they said, we're sending you the audition link so you can see him. I said, great. But I was on the road. I was driving to Santa Fe with my husband, and so I'm Googling Sam Heughan on my iPhone as we drive. I'm thinking, you have to be kidding. His IMDb photos do not do him justice. And in fact, some of them are truly bizarre. But mostly they said, you know, we want someone who could believably play a 22-year-old virgin, which was a big concern of mine, actually. And I said, well, yeah, I buy him as a 22-year-old virgin. I said, he doesn't look like he has hair on his backside. Let alone the dangly bits. And so I was a little concerned, but I got to where I was going and brought up the audition tapes and sort of peeking through my fingers, not sure. And 5 seconds in, I'm thinking, he doesn't look anything like his photos. He looks great. 5 seconds more, he was just gone, and it was Jamie Fraser right there. You know, I was just flabbergasted because I never thought they'd find anyone even close. And yet, you know, this is what actors do. Actors are magic. And what their magic is to embody someone that they aren't. You give them the broad physical outlines of resemblance, but beyond that, it's acting, and man, he can do it.
Production is in the capable hands of Ronald Moore, who's done everything from Star Trek to, of course, Battlestar Galactica. And I asked him how he got involved with this project.
We just kind of pursued it for a while. My wife and my producing partner separately loved these books. And we were having dinner in Vancouver about 5 or 6 years ago and just talking about, well, what would be great projects to do and passion projects. And they both realized that they both loved these books. And they just start talking, and then they said, you have to read these. And I said, oh, okay. So then they gave it to me, and I read it, and I was very taken with it. It was a great story. I liked the central character. I love history. I love historical fiction, so I really responded to the period. I liked the twists and turns. I was continually sort of surprised by events that were happening, and I could just see it. I thought, well, this is a great show. And so I tracked down the rights holder, a man named Jim Kohlberg, held the rights, and at the point when we first reached out, he wanted to do a feature version. I said, I don't really think it's a feature. I don't know what the two-hour version of this story is. I think it's a show. But okay, and so he went off and kept developing. And every year, we would literally call and check in and say, how's the feature going? And say, well, we're not there yet, but we're getting there. And last year, he finally called and said, you know, maybe it is a TV show after all. And I was like, yes. And so then gave the books to Sony Television, put the deal together, took it out and pitched it, and Starz snapped it up. So it was great.
The Outlander series has been hugely popular for years. So why did it take this long to hit television?
Yeah, no, people have been wanting to make a movie of Outlander for the past 23 years. We would get two or three inquiries a month, usually through my agents, of people wanting to make a movie. Now, most of these people have no experience and no money, which kind of puts them out of consideration. But beyond people with experience and money, you want people who've actually read the book, which knocks out another 3 or 4%. You're down now to a very small proportion of candidates. And above that, you know, you have to actually like the people and more or less trust them, insofar as trust is a word you can use in the context of film people, which, you know, varies. And so you don't want to do an option with people that you don't trust to handle the material respectfully. Because once you've signed the rights, you know, it's too late. They've got total control.
Ron told me that part of the plan for success was finding the right network partner.
You know, one of the great things about selling it to Starz was when we sold it to them, Chris Albrecht himself sat down and read the book. And it's a sizable book. And he read it. And he loved it. And he was very taken with the material. And he said to me, trust the book, make the show for the fans, and trust that anyone who has not read the book will just be swept along in the story like everybody else, which you never hear that. Nobody says that. Like you said, usually, you know, these people buy a book and they say, well, we bought it for the cover and we don't really care what's in it. Do whatever you want. And no, Starz felt from the get-go that, look, there's a fan base. We like the book. We want to service them, and everyone else will come along for the ride. Just trust and take your time with it. Don't reinvent it. And that's exactly what I wanted to do. So in the writer's room. We always start with the book version of events. We have the dialogue. I have the dialogue in separate files in my computer. I have my Kindle version in my computer. I can always go back to the scene. And we always start with the book version of events. We do change things. We do vary some stuff. But it's usually for some reason. There's always like a reason why, okay, that's not going to quite lay out in an hour, or we want to expand something that might be. There are memorable, really memorable scenes in the book that are actually only like a half a page, and you realize, I'd like to have more of that, and so you expand that and you put things around and change slightly, you know, or things that we might add, you know, and the book opens in Inverness in 1945. The war is over and they're on their second honeymoon, but she had this experience in the Second World War in a field hospital, so I wanted to show that, so we open. Let's show Claire in the field hospital in World War II saving somebody's life and see her doing the thing. Show the woman, you know, visually. Let's see her capable, smart, struggling, hardship, see what she's already gone through, which really sets the stage for how she's able to sort of adapt to this other set of circumstances. So yeah, that's not in the book, but it's implicit in the book, and it's within the scope of what could have been in the book, and all the way through, we're always, if we add something or change it, we're always getting back into the lane of where the story is taking us, because the job is not to reinvent the material, it's to just realize the material.
Considering where things stand right now with Game of Thrones, I was curious as to whether there was enough Outlander material to keep up with the pace of producing a regular series.
We have a lot of lead time here. I mean, slow as I am, he's got, I've got an 8-book lead on him, you know, at one book per season. You know, we got a while.
I'm not too concerned. Pretty much a season by season, like, you know, a book a season is kind of a good way to go about it. The third book is very big, and that might be where we have to split that over two seasons, but I should have such problems, and we'll figure that out when we get there. But right now, season one, 16 episodes, is we can definitely tell the complete story of the original book.
Outlander premieres on Starz in August, and you can see a free sneak preview of the first episode beginning August 2nd at Starz.com.
The Point Radio.
You know what to expect here. It's the latest in pop culture. Among everything else that Marvel is changing and reviving, there's the return of Tony Stark's ego. It's all in a new series called Superior Iron Man that'll launch in a couple of months. It's written by Tom Taylor, and allegedly Tony Stark regresses to his pre-superhero personality. As you'll recall, he was a narcissistic, egomaniacal profiteer, and that's pretty much where this series is going to take him. How it affects the rest of the Marvel Universe will have yet to be seen. Daredevil does appear, though, in the first issue of Superior Iron Man, which will launch in November in comic stores. Bad news at Microsoft, in addition to cutting some 18,000 jobs, more importantly, they're also shutting down the Xbox Entertainment Studios. Now, that does not mean, though, that we won't see the end of the documentary Signal to Noise and the digital series Halo Nightfall and the Halo TV series as well. Those will all continue, at least for the first season or so. No word yet on whether those might move to another platform after Microsoft locks the doors. Fresh on the heels of the announcement that Thor is undergoing a gender change, there's a little less radical upheaval going on over in Captain America. As we told you, Captain America 25 will be the last issue with Steve Rogers as Cap, and then after that, there'll be a new series launched called the All-New Captain America, with the Falcon taking up the role. Sam Wilson becomes Captain America with the power of flight, but no super soldier serum to help him out. The same creative team will remain, and again, the new Captain America series launches in November. Another Valiant property might be headed to the big screen. Archer and Armstrong has struck a deal with the Sean Daniel Company, and there's even a script so far for the project written by Ben David Grabinski. The Daniel Company was involved in Best Man's Holiday back in 2013 and also has the upcoming Ben-Hur and Mummy films on the way. Archer and Armstrong will be the third Valiant property to be developed for the big screen, followed up by Shadow Man and Bloodshot, both of who had projects announced earlier this year. So after a decent month for graphic novel sales in comic book stores, how did they do in the big bookstore change? Well, it's pretty interesting. A total flip as far as what titles are on the list, with Attack on Titan being 5 of the top 10 best-selling graphic novels in bookstores over the month of June. At number 10's Walking Dead Volume 20, Attack on Titan Volume 9 is at number 9. Saga Volume 1 from Image comes in at number 8. Naruto Volume 65 from Viz is at number 7. And then Attack on Titan Volume 3 at number 6, and Attack on Titan Volume 12 at number 5. Another volume of Saga, this time volume 3 at number 4. Marvel comes in one time with the Marvel Encyclopedia updated and expanded hardcover, but that's actually from another publisher, but we'll give it to Marvel anyway at number 3. And the top two best-selling graphic novels in bookstores in June, Attack on Titan Volume 1 at number 1, Attack on Titan Volume 2 at number 2. ABC has decided they're going to stick with the traditional premiere week to kick off their fall season in September, beginning on the 22nd with the premiere of Forever. Then the next night on the 23rd, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. premieres for its second season with another episode of Forever to follow. And Once Upon a Time begins its new season on September 28th. Marvel kicks off the return of the Star Wars property to the Marvel umbrella with Star Wars: The Original Marvel Years. It's a new hardcover omnibus edition of the original Star Wars comic book series from back in the 70s. It features all 44 issues, as well as a Star Wars annual and work by Howard Chaykin, Roy Thomas, Archie Goodwin, Chris Claremont, and so many others as well. It runs nearly 900 pages. It checks in at about $125, and it'll be available in stores in January.
The Point, The Point.
While comic book sales not that great over the past 30 days in stores, graphic novels had a pretty good month. They were up over 8% in June when compared to June of 2013. And a big number one surprise, too, as well. As you look at the list, which, by the way, is pretty much predominantly independent publishers. The entire list of the 10 best-selling graphic novels in stores for the month started number 10 with Saga Volume 2 from Image. Injustice: Gods Among Us Volume 2 from DC at number 9. And number 8, the first Injustice: Gods Among Us volume, again from DC. At number 7, Batman and Robin Volume 3, Death of the Family. Superior Spider-Man Volume 6, The Goblin Nation, comes in at number 6. Saga Volume 4 is the number 5 best-selling graphic novel, and Saga Volume 3 comes at number 4, both from Image. Velvet Volume 1, Before the Living End, also from Image at number 3. Night of the Living Deadpool, second best-selling graphic novel, and the number 1 bestseller of the month in comic stores, Afterlife with Archie from Archie Comics.
The Point.
Actor Jay Hernandez is one of those guys, well, you've seen everywhere, from movies like Crazy Beautiful with Kristen Dunst to Friday Night Lights with Billy Bob Thornton, and on TV with shows like Nashville and Last Resort. Now he's part of the cast of the new Fox series, Gang Related, and I ask him to fill me in on his part.
Ramon Rodriguez plays a gang member. He plays a member of the gang task force, and he was raised by my family, which is the Acosta family, and my father is the head of a gang called Los Angelicos. And so his allegiance lies to us, and he's working with us secretly, filtering information from the gang task force, which he works on. He's trying to take out the exact people that he's working with and that he grew up. So his allegiance lies with us, but he's also sort of developing this relationship with the cops and finding himself, you know, sort of a member of that new family. And I play the son of the main guy of the gang. His name is Daniel Acosta. And I'm trying to legitimize the family, and I start a bank, and, you know, I'm trying to help the community. And it seems like my last name keeps on pulling me back to the darker side of things.
With a wide variety of film and TV roles behind him, I ask him what draws him to a role, and how does he know which one will really work for him?
Yeah, a lot of times, you know, it's about connecting with the character and finding something in there that you just like. You know, it's it can be difficult because you never know what the finished product is going to be like. But, you know, a lot of times you bet on quality. If you're working with a quality director and you know their work, that's one thing, or the writer, or, you know, the DPs, the cinematographers, that kind of stuff. So you look at the whole package and you say, do I think this is going to work? Do I think this is, you know, something people would be into? And then you look at the character and just make that decision, you know. It's not easy. Sometimes it's hard to turn down things when, you know, they can be financially rewarding, and you know, but ultimately you think, well, maybe this is not the right move for my career. So it's, you know, it's kind of a chess game. And, you know, I've been lucky enough, and I suppose smart enough to make the right decisions along the
way. So TV or movies, what feels best?
You know, it's funny. I've been doing it long enough that I remember a time where I thought, you know, it wasn't, you know, people didn't like TV the way they do now, I feel like. You know, there's so much talent There's so many great filmmakers and actors, or television show makers, directors that have moved on to television. That's where a lot of the more interesting material is. So it's the movie business as a whole has changed. And I think for me now, I love television. And the difference between a film and a television show is the film, you know your whole character arc. You know exactly what's happening from beginning to end. Every sentence you speak is already written down. A television show, it's this like open, dynamic, ever-evolving thing that happens. And your character is on this trajectory, but you don't really know where it's going to end. And that's the exciting thing about a television show. It's a moving, living thing, you know.
Beyond acting, any thoughts about moving into writing or directing?
Yeah, absolutely. While I was out here, I've been working on this the script that I've been writing. I have some friends, some producing partners that I'm trying to get some projects off the ground. So I've been, you know, sort of branching out and trying to make things happen on the other side of things. And I, you know, I love being an actor, but I think it's also interesting to be, you know, creative in that way as a producer or a writer, because sometimes as an actor, you can be limited sometimes in some ways. But with writing or producing, you have complete and total freedom to do whatever you want. So that's interesting. You know, that's interesting to me. And I've been sort of working on that, you know, alongside having fun, you know, shooting gang related, doing this movie. It's been great, man. I got no complaints.
Jason, new episodes of Gang Related every Thursday on Fox. And you can always see more about the series at Fox.com. That's it for right now. We're back one more time before we head west for Comic-Con, but we'll be reporting direct from the floor, and you can hear those reports at GetThePointRadio.com, 24-7 of your favorite pop culture programming. And you can take it anywhere on any mobile device, Apple or Android, with the app called iNet Radio. In the meantime, the podcast is back in a couple of days on websites like ComicMix.com, MichaelDavisWorld.com, and in the iTunes podcast directory. And we'll see you then. Get the